This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair with this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. In our conversations about autonomous vehicles, we've spent a lot of time discussing safety and convenience issues. Today, we're going to explore the potential pros and cons of the environmental impacts that self-driving cars may bring about. My guest is among the most knowledgeable in the country about the subject matter. Dr. Gregory Keolian is co-founder and director of the Center for Sustainable Systems at the University of Michigan, and thank you for the time today.
I'm looking forward to it, David.
As the auto industry continues to study and experiment with connected autonomous vehicles, how high on the priority list does fuel and energy efficiency play into design and production at this point?
It is a very important goal for the industry to address fuel economy and greenhouse gas emissions driven by regulation and recognition of the importance of reducing greenhouse gas emissions, which is probably the greatest environmental threat facing society today. And 16% of the emissions in the United States, greenhouse gas emissions, come from cars and light-duty trucks.
Well, let's go a little further down that road, so to speak. If I understand it correctly, the autonomous vehicles weigh more, and because of the external monitors and safety accoutrements, will have a higher drag coefficient. Whether a vehicle is an internal combustion engine or electrically powered, that's going to slow it down and burn more energy. So are there offsets that could reach a level of neutrality or improve on today's standards?
Yes. So the increased power consumption from computation of the autonomous vehicle, the weight, the drag, can increase the energy and greenhouse gas emissions between 3 and 20%. We looked at different scenarios. But on the operational side, there's improvements through eco-driving, which is driving that minimizes the fuel consumption and much smoother in terms of speeding up and slowing down. There's platooning, which decreases the distance between vehicles, so you get reduction in drag. And then there's intersection connectivity, which does a better job in terms of traffic flow. So those can result in a 14% reduction in fuel. So overall, we're seeing up to a 9% improvement in terms of reduction in greenhouse gas emissions from the autonomous vehicle.
Now, there's a lot of kinds of vehicles that are being tested, and has there been a determination in your study about the difference in lifetime greenhouse gas emissions between electric powertrains and the combustion engine?
Yes, definitely. In terms of deployment of autonomous vehicles, we would definitely recommend electric-powered vehicles because you could see a 40% lower emissions in greenhouse gases compared to internal combustion.
That's pretty significant.
Yes.
You are listening to 89.1 WEMU. This is Issues of the Environment, and we're talking with Dr. Gregory Keolian. He is co-founder and director of the Center for Sustainable Systems at the University of Michigan. And, Doctor, the Department of Energy offered up a prediction range. I don't know if you saw that or not, noting that there are a multitude of factors that are going to have to be assessed over time, of course, but it said they could predict anywhere from a 90% decline in greenhouse gas emissions to anywhere up to a 200% increase. Is your study contradictory to those findings?
No, our study focused on the equipment, the sensing and the computing equipment, which they didn't account for in their analysis, but they looked at broader issues such as ride sharing and congestion that we didn't factor in. So that explains a lot of the range. So ride sharing can dramatically reduce emissions. So vehicle occupancy is key to increase. If we don't do that, autonomous vehicles are going to have a tough time of really improving energy use. We're about 1.6 passengers per vehicle, and when you're talking about commuting to work, it's down to 1.2. So this is where if we have shared fleets, we could really increase the vehicle occupancy and reduce our overall transportation emissions and greenhouse gases.
And I do want to come back to that in just a moment, but first I want to kind of still follow along on some of these factors that have the potential to make this kind of an environmental nightmare. The possibility that people live further away from work because they no longer have to drive and can use the commute for task efficiency. Without having to deal with the actual driving, we could see an increase in the use of vehicles that increase total miles traveled. We could see higher speeds and more fossil fuel expenditure if we stick with the internal combustion engines. So as you consider your studies, how are you going to start to account for those factors?
Well, we are starting to do a second phase of research looking at the broader levels, looking beyond the vehicle system, but looking at the mobility system. And we're now doing a study that involves a simulation of Austin in terms of traffic flow and accounting for some of these other factors that you mentioned, which are critical. If we make driving more convenient and people live further away from work, that will definitely erase a lot of the benefits from automation in terms of efficiency.
Once again, you're listening to Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU with our guest, Dr. Gregory Keolian. We're talking about the potential impacts, good and bad, of a move to a world of autonomous vehicles. And now I'd like to look a little bit ahead, Doctor, if that's all right. It seems as though we're going to see a shift in the auto industry business model. More fleets, as you mentioned, more car and ride-sharing businesses. Are you going to further explore how those models may impact usage and environmental impact?
Yeah, so we're actually factoring some of that in our analysis now. So with autonomous vehicles, you can increase utilization of the vehicles. Because right now, most of the time, your vehicle is parked, so it's only used about 10% of the time. But with shared fleets, you could increase the utilization and have faster fleet turnover. And with faster fleet turnover, you could adopt more efficient technology. So we were exploring that aspect, which can help with reduction and bringing on vehicles that are more efficient sooner.
What I've come to recognize through the course of our conversation is, obviously, we are very early in understanding all of the potential impacts and all of the potential uses of these autonomous vehicles. So you've kind of touched on a couple of the next components of your study. What will the phases be in the years to come on CAVs?
In terms of CAVs, I think that, as you indicated, is extremely complex in terms of being able to predict and understand, for example, how behavior is going to factor in and how the shared vehicle will work in terms of increasing occupancy. And so a lot of this is going to come down to consumer behavior and how the vehicle is adopted and used. Because if we look at individual ownership and private ownership of these vehicles, I think we're going to have limited opportunity for really enhancing sustainability of our mobility system.
So as you've delved into some of these issues at this very early stage, are you starting to envision a way that you might personally use these kinds of vehicles in your life?
Well, I bike to work today, and I take a bus, and I'll take the bus home if it's raining. So I really see the value of these vehicles, particularly in shared systems, and really in terms of urban systems. And I think these vehicles, if they can help with our usage of public transit, could really benefit in terms of our mobility ecosystem. So they could facilitate with last mile problem of public transit. So that's where I think there's real opportunity, really looking at urban systems and where you have a high density in terms of movement.
Is today's auto industry adaptable enough to make those changes and in somewhat timely fashion?
I see that the leadership in the industry is really embracing the mission of mobility, not just manufacturing vehicles. And I think that it's going to be an exciting time in Detroit to look at the future of mobility.
I think you've touched on it in a couple of different ways, but I'll bring it into one succinct question. What, in your opinion, based on what you know today, will our national transportation model look like in 10 to 20 years?
I think we're going to see a mix of automation. So it's going to be a major transformation, but we're going to see some automation introduced. Then it's going to be, from there, a matter of what technologies are going to be the winners in terms of providing the safety, convenience, and then also looking at meeting environmental objectives.
Well, as you get through phase two of the study, let's make sure we get in touch again and see if any of this changes.
Very good.
That is Dr. Gregory Keolian, co-founder and director of the Center for Sustainable Systems at the University of Michigan. For more information on today's Issues of the Environment conversation, visit our website at WEMU.org. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.